The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
I'm Vonnie Quinn along with Peggy Collins today, who's sitting in for Kathleen Hayes. And we'd like to welcome now on the Ring Central phone line our next guest, Stephen Shork, President of the Shork Group, editor of the Shork Report. Stephen, thanks for joining us on Bloomberg Radio.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So I have been watching oil prices decline with some surprise. $96.43 a barrel now, again, down 1.9% today. It seems like just a few days ago we were up close to $110 a barrel.
This is true, and what's nice about this from a consumer standpoint is that, indeed, we are now beyond, as you said, at $96, beyond the midpoint of this year's range. So we are certainly now moving in the right direction. We have to keep in mind that back in July, this market went parabolic. We went from about $90 a barrel to $110 a barrel back at the beginning of October. Now, if we think about what was happening back there, a lot of this was driven by geopolitics. We had first the civil strife in Egypt and the threat that posed to oil transiting a major pipeline in the Suez Canal. That was followed by the rhetoric and the fear of conflict with Syria towards the end of the summer. But another geopolitical headline hit the market, and that is Iran's conciliatory tone with regard to the West and that country's nuclear program. Now, if you believe it or not, I professionally do not believe the Iranians are indeed sincere, but it certainly is that dovish talk a driver for lower prices. Now, you take that geopolitics and you juxtapose it with the season. We're now in October. We're well beyond the driving season. So gasoline demand is weaker. Crude oil demand is also weaker because refineries are in their maintenance season. So they're not burning oil or boiling oil, I should say, and therefore they're not buying oil. So we certainly have a combination now, both geopolitically and fundamentally, that is leading the market lower.
And, of course, we're seeing it in Brent as well. It's not just WTI, although there is still quite a spread, about $12 worth of a spread.
Yes, that spread has really blown out over the past couple of weeks, and that is more or less fundamentally driven as well. The WTI, the New York NYMEX contract, is based on oil in the Midwest. There is still a glut. There is still a lot of oil in the Midwest. Now, you take all of that oil, very strong production. The U.S. is now producing as much oil, 7 million barrels a day, as it does import. So we are adding a lot of oil to the mix. And as referenced before with regard to the turnaround season, we're not boiling a lot. So those inventories are indeed building again, which is weighing on WTI, which is pushing that spread out. Again, keep in mind that there are still always the geopolitical drivers behind this market, and the Brent contract, which trades on the ICE based on North Sea oil, is more sensitive to these geopolitical headlines. So that spread is moving out because of, in the U.S., we have a lot of oil, and at this moment, we do not have a lot of demand for it.
What about U.S. policy, Steve? What effect is Fed policy having on oil prices, if any?
Well, there is that correlation with regard to the Fed. It's not necessarily the Fed, but it's, of course, the Fed's decision and what that means for the dollar. Historically, there is an inverse relationship between oil prices and the dollar. So if you do believe, if you're a currency guy, and the lack of a taper is going to be bearish for the dollar, ultimately, that is intuitively bullish for not only oil, but for all hard assets, because all hard assets around the globe are priced in dollars. If you devalue the dollar, you devalue the price of these hard assets, and you make it attractive for investors to come in. So that is always a big driver.
Sure, but on the other hand, Stephen, yeah, if the Fed has to continue its easy monetary policy, that also has implications for growth, right? That means that we're not growing as much as we would like without easy monetary policy, and doesn't that also have an impact on oil?
Oh, yeah, and indeed, that is the paradox. For instance, we received a rather poor jobs report yesterday, and what did the S&P do? It went and hit a new record high. How does that make sense, that we're not adding jobs, the economy is apparently in stall speed, And yet the stock market continues to surge. This is an artificial bubble being manufactured by Fed monetary
policy. But at the same time, though, Stephen, I do see some of the reasoning behind why stocks continue to go higher on the potential for the Fed to stay easy longer. I'm not sure I see it so clearly with oil.
Well, I don't see clearly with oil either. And I also don't see, by the way, with stocks, because what we are doing is retarding the cost of money. So think about it. Money is virtually free now. Think about the inefficiencies, the way investments are being made now, because we don't appreciate the cost of money at this point. So when you do factor in this easy money policy, and it does weigh on the dollar, it is having that theoretical impact on oil. But I absolutely agree with you. There is an absolute disconnect between an economy both here in North America, or I should say just in the United States, I think the Canadians are doing well, and in Europe at this point, that you have economic malaise, but you still have a bullish driver for oil. It is a paradox, and these paradoxes do tend to correct. And I think the fact that we have come off over the past month by about $15 a barrel, we are now in that correction mode.
So where do you see fair value then for a barrel of crude, WTI, say?
Right now, when we net back the price of oil, we're looking at, and this is, again, for winter-grade gasoline, oil prices correctly priced at about $3.30, $3.40. For this time of the year, that is lower demand and winter-grade gasoline, which is cheaper to blend. Oil in that $90 to $95 range is good value right there. That is, the producer makes money and the consumer does not get scalped. Now, when we look ahead to next summer and when we really have demand for gasoline, of course, now we're burning summer-grade gasoline, which is more expensive, and therefore that is an inherent uplift to the market. But we're looking at, again, probably oil in that $95 to $105 range, which is going to net you back around between $3.60, $3.70. Now, with the shift in demand and elasticity for gasoline, that is certainly fair value at this point. So we're looking at winter crude oil when demand is lower during this turnaround season. We're now probably approaching that sweet spot where you would expect to see support between $95 and $90. And really, on the upswing, as we saw at the end of the summer, you get oil prices at $110 and above, you're really beginning to play around with consumer demand. And that is, of course, a byproduct of an economy that is in questionable state.
Stephen, what's your thought on the prospects of the Keystone Pipeline going through now that the government is back focused on issues besides the debt ceiling and the shutdown?
Yeah, up until 6 months ago, I thought approval of Keystone XL was a done deal. Now I am confident that it will not get approved in this administration.
Really, Stephen? Why is that?
It's simply based on political maneuvering at this point. I think this administration, during its first term, disconnected itself with a lot of its base. And given that we are in a poor economy, given that we are looking to preserve our legacy, the administration's legacy, I think they're going to tack, and they are tacking further to the left. And I think approval of Keystone is not the memory, the legacy that this administration wants to continue. So, look, Nebraska has already signed off on it. Hillary Clinton's State Department signed off on it. How come this thing has not gotten approved yet? It should have been approved 6, 8, 12 months ago. It's not. So I foresee this issue being punted to the next administration.
Wow, Stephen. So it sounds like going back to consumers and gas and oil prices throughout the end of the year, sounds like you're seeing a sweet spot, as you said, for oil prices. Is there anything out there now that you see potentially lurking that could move oil prices considerably between now and the end of the year?
Right now, the only thing you're looking at, based on we know the seasonality of the market. We still have a few more weeks left of poor or muted demand because refineries are in their maintenance season. So certainly, as we go forward, we get through October, those refineries do come back online. Consumers do start driving out to the malls for their to start buying for the holidays. So demand will pick up, and that is certainly what we're looking at to add support to the market. Not drive it exceedingly high, but certainly add support to the market. So therefore, the big question marks, of course, are the known unknowns, the black swans, and then that always comes back down to geopolitics.
Stephen, so, I really just want to, we've just a few seconds left, but yes. I really want to get back to this Keystone question again.
Yes.
You think that it's not going to get approved in this administration, and therefore, would we be looking at after the midterms or after the next presidential election?
After the next presidential election. I think this is absolutely a issue that the Obama administration, this is not the legacy they want to be remembered for. So, no, I think it goes beyond the midterms, and we don't see any sort of real decision, a positive decision, I should say. I could see this thing being outright rejected within this administration.
So, I mean, the fight's going on 6 years at this point, so you're saying it could be another 3-4?
No, absolutely. And so what we're doing now is really sowing the seeds. The Canadians are going to get this oil to the market because they have to. I'd rather see that oil get to the market through the United States as opposed to going through British Columbia and being exported to China.
Wow, well, we shall see, but that's certainly a change, and I think it's a change in the consensus, really, as well. The consensus had been that it was going to get done at some point in this administration, wasn't it, really, Stephen?
Yeah.
Well, that was Stephen Shork of The Shork Group and editor of The Shork Report joining us. Says the Keystone XL pipeline, the northern part, will not get approved by this administration. Continuing on the Hayes Advantage, we'll be taking a look at European banks. How healthy are they? The new stress tests from the ECB. Rebecca Christie will join us.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.